Christmas greetings, ladies and gentlemen. We've entered the second hour of this special Carpenter's 2-hour programme. My guest is Richard Carpenter. We've been going through the Carpenter's hit since 1970. Later in the programme, we shall be hearing tracks from Richard's new album on A&M Records called Time. In the meantime, let me be the one.
Let me be the one you run to.
We'll have two in a row right now, Richard. Only Yesterday and Solitaire, both from the era of 1975.
Right, the Horizon LP.
Indeed. Any stories behind Only Yesterday or Solitaire?
Nothing really out of the ordinary. Only Yesterday is an original. It's my melody and John Bettis's lyric. I came across a few chord changes. I was working on the string parts for what we'd already recorded for the Horizon album, and just happened to be noodling on the keyboard and came across a couple changes that I liked, and out of that came Only Yesterday. And Solitaire is just a very classy ballad that I think really, really showcases Karen's singing very well. It's a very rangy tune, and it takes a gifted singer to really pull it off properly. Now, Andy Williams had a hit with it in Great Britain. He does it. Of course, he's a terrific singer. And Karen did an excellent job with it.
After long enough of being alone, everyone must face their share.
Baby, baby.
There was a man, a lonely man, who lost his love through his indifference. That went unshared until it died within his silence. As solitaire's the only game in town, and every road that takes him takes him back.
Solitaire, written by Neil Sedaka and Phil Cody from 1975, and before the break, only yesterday, also from the charts of 1975. This is Cardboard Chew's Keith Skews, chatting with Richard Carpenter this Christmas time, 1987. Now, looking across at our turntable, I say turntable, we've got three turntables, we are generous here on this particular radio station. Looking at one of the turntables, anyway, I see our next record is There's a Kind of Hush. Richard, do you remember Peter Noon, or should I say Herman and the Hermits?
They had a lot of hits in America. I mean, I'm Into Something Good and Henry VIII and Mrs. Brown, etc. And, of course, There's a Kind of Hush was a very big, it was a gold record. And the flip side was a hit, No Milk Today, also.
Is that why you decided then to record the song?
Well, Karen and I always liked There's a Kind of Hush and decided to go ahead and record it.
You know what I mean, just the two of us and nobody else in sight. There's nobody else and I'm feeling good, just holding you tight. So listen very carefully, get closer now and you will see what I mean. It isn't a dream. Like us are falling in love.
If you just joined us, greetings to you. Keith Skews on this special program with Richard Carpenter. And we're going through quite a number of the Carpenter's golden oldies, and we'll be coming right up to date very soon with Richard's current LP. But going back just to 1977, just 10 years ago, Richard, Calling Occupants, which you mentioned earlier in the program, a very strange title. And what was that particular record based upon?
The writer's love of the Beatles and science fiction. It was written by members of a Canadian group called Klaatu. And, of course, for the sci-fi buff, they'll know that Klaatu is the name of the alien who arrived here on a mission in the sci-fi classic The Day the Earth Stood Still, directed by Robert Wise. Michael Rennie played Klaatu, and these four Canadian studio musicians, who were very much into the Beatles, decided in their spare time to record this album of original material. And as I'd mentioned, they were very much into the Beatles sound and into science fiction, so out of that came this rather Beatlesque ballad called Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. Parenthetical title was the official anthem of World Contact Day. Of course, there was no such thing as World Contact Day. It was just a lot of fun. I'd purchased the LP just to hear, well, there was a lot of talk about it. And of course, Capitol Records, who released it in America, was going after a campaign, Who is Klaatu? And of course, people were supposed to think it was the Beatles, run out and buy the record. Well, the first thing, band one, side one, is Occupants, and I just fell in love with it. And I played it to Karen over the phone, and we decided to go ahead and do it. Now, Klaatu did it with quite a bit of electronic gear, with synthesizers and the sorts, and they did a terrific job with it. I wanted to go with a full-on orchestra, a symphony orchestra and a chorus, and also have synths mixed into it, and along with a great guitar solo by Tony Peluso. So, as I mentioned, it did fairly well in America. It was a little off the Carpenter's beaten path. And I think it reached 9 here in Britain, and it stayed in the top 10, I think, for a couple of months. And we got mail, people wanting to know when World Contact Day was, and et cetera. And, of course, we had to let them know there really wasn't one that I know of, you know.
All-Hit Radio! Alright, you're listening to All-Hit Radio, and it's 53 degrees at 13 minutes past the hour, and right now in our all-request line, I've got Mike Ledgerwood on the phone. Hey, babe, what would you like to hear? Hey, babe, I'm sorry, I can't hear you too well. You're gonna have to speak a little closer into the phone. Okay, babe, what would you like to hear again?
We are observing your Earth.
Hey, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but that's not on our playlist. And by the way, you sound great over the phone. Anyway, if you give us your request, we'll be glad to play it for you, babe, so let's hear it.
We are observing your Earth.
Listen, Mike, I'm sorry, babe, but we can't...
And we'd like to make...
I'm sorry, Mike, we... There's...
A contact with you.
Calling occupants of interplanetary, quite extraordinary craft. And please come in peace, we beseech you.
I want you. us a sign. Give us a sign that we reach you.
From the hit parade of 1977, I think you caught a catch of me singing along with that particular one there. Calling Occupants, and what a powerful production that was, I was just saying to Richard there. Christmas greetings if you've just tuned our way. My name is Keith Skews, and it's my pleasure to be chatting with Richard Carpenter. And Richard, as it is Christmas, not forgetting that Jesus Christ was a carpenter, Richard, we better get around to some Christmas music.
We have two Christmas LPs. Of course, the first one released in 78 was Christmas Portrait, and then, Karen and I were so much into that, being lovers of Christmas music, that we over-recorded for Christmas Portrait, and I completed that LP with the extra material and some more that I recorded here at Abbey Road Studios in 1984. It's called An Old-Fashioned Christmas. I could list Christmas songs for hours. I mean, Oh Holy Night's one of my favorites. There are a number. Christ is Born off of Christmas Portrait, I think, is absolutely beautiful. There are a lot of them. She did an impeccable job. And Peter Knight, the late, great British orchestrator, of course, contributed a great deal to that LP. Both LPs.
It is He, Christ, who is born. Hallelujah.
From the Christmas long-playing album Portrait, The Carpenters and Christ is Born. Richard Carpenter is our guest, and so far we have not unnaturally been talking about the Carpenters' music. But Richard, when you're not on duty, what sort of music do you enjoy listening to?
A variety. I go from classical to jazz to pop to show tunes, a lot of different styles of music.
You've had hits with numerous singles. Would you say that a lot of people today churn out rather mediocre material because it is a single, and they save their best talents, if you like, for albums?
I don't know. I mean, in any period of time that I can think of on Top 40, there are things that I consider mediocre and others I consider extremely well done, and I really don't see any difference now. There are certain things on the airways right now I think are extremely well done. I mean, there are album cuts from time to time that for some reason, I know we're dealing with intangibles here, aren't released as singles, that are every bit as really appealing and all, but I don't know, I never approached it that way. We approached each record as
an art form, really.
Well, as a thing in its own, and did the best we could with it.
Saturday began much the same as other days, but ended up different in many ways. Love is in the world since Saturday. Moon came, but somehow it didn't seem the same. The sadness of Friday had somehow changed to the happy sounds of Saturday. 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 I whistled the bluebirds. I tried to tell them how you brought me sunshine. My head's full of new words. The sun to the sun, day after Friday. Come and see the flowers of love she gave to me. The touches of laughter and harmony to the happy sounds of Saturday. Saturday, ever loving Saturday. The flowers of love she gave to me, the touches of laughter and harmony, to the happy sounds of Saturday, Saturday, ever loving Saturday, 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 ever loving Saturday.
Well, unlike most of the Carpenters' records that go on between 4, 5, and 6 minutes, that was a very short one, and that rather sums up Saturdays that whiz by very quickly these days. But we get 52 of them in a year, so I don't suppose we can complain. Richard Carpenter, as well as a singer and songwriter, you're also very much an arranger. What does this work entail?
Well, it's a matter of, well, deciding really the... First you lay out the roadmap of the tune, the intro and when different instruments are going to enter and exit, and you work out if it's going to have a modulation, whether it's going to be a record that has a fade or whether it's going to have a cold ending. And then it's, well, really how the song's going to be treated. Songs can be treated to any given song in a variety of ways. Some are good for the tune and some aren't good for the tune. And of course it's up to the arranger. You can get the wrong arranger for the wrong tune, and it could be a good arranger and a good tune, it may not work. It's a matter of deciding what's best for the tune, and then from there what instruments you're going to feature, and I write out all the string parts and what they're going to play and whether it's going to have a sax solo or a piano solo or a guitar solo. I do all the vocal parts, and I did for all of Karen's and my records. So it's really a matter of the feel of the tune. And once you decide on the feel, every single note in the arrangement. Kind of hard to describe, really.
You touched on that just a moment ago about fade records. Now, we heard a rumor years ago that once the clock ran to 2 minutes and 30 seconds, if you hadn't finished singing, it was faded out. Why do records fade?
Well, what you're referring to, of course, is Top 40 radio, where, of course, for years, it was rather rapid fire, and, they didn't want records that went on for 4 and 5 minutes. But in the past, 87, 57, I guess approximately 30 years, a new type of song has come in that's actually what's called a hook song. Before that, songs were normal AA, BA, where you had a verse, verse, a bridge, a verse, and of course the arrangement took it out, it didn't fade, it ended. But when the hook song came in, that gave it a whole different feel. In other words, a song that's like a traditional ballad, like, say, Rainy Days and Mondays, even though it's only, it's not even 20 years old, that song has a verse, a bridge, funny, but a dee 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 da da da, and then third verse, and you're out. Then you take a song like Superstar or Yesterday Once More, and that's actually not a bridge, that's a hook, or a chorus. Mm-hmm. And it's called a hook, of course, because on one listening or two, that's what grabs the person, that's what they remember at first. Don't you remember you told me you love me? At first you don't remember long ago. You eventually do, of course, because that's an extremely well-written song, but the hook or the chorus is the first thing that's remembered. But it's more of a driving feel. And, I mean, there are times with a hook song that you can bring it down and end with a cold ending, but, well, a lot of times it just calls for the hook to be... It's gotten into a groove, and it just wants to keep driving, and, of course, it has to end. I mean, so you fade it.
Talking to myself and feeling old. Sometimes I'd like to quit. Nothing ever seems to fit. Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. What I got, they used to call the blues. Nothing is really wrong. Feeling like I don't belong. Walking around some kind of lonely clown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Here with you. Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but cry. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me. What I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about.
One of the records that did not, in fact, fade from the Carpenters' Rainy Days and Mondays. Well, we've had 2 days of the week so far. We had Saturdays earlier and now Mondays. Coming right up to date with the current album called Time. 4 years have now elapsed since Karen's untimely death, Richard. Can you talk us through your new album and why it's taken you 2 years to produce 10 tracks? I'm not trying to be critical. I probably sounded it the way I phrased it then. But how did you sign up Dusty Springfield, Dionne Warwick and Herb Alpert, to name but three, to guest on the LP?
It was 2 years from start to finish, but it was not 2 years solid in the making.
Go on, you'll tell me that A&M recording studios in America were being redecorated or something.
Oh, did you read my liner notes? Yes, that's actually, it was a little beyond redecoration. I mean, Herb decided it was time to actually gut them. And it was always a first-class facility, but as you know, I mean, state-of-the-art in this business is changing every month, it seems. And the time had come, Herb felt, to really start from scratch, other than the structure itself. And we'd gotten, I guess about 40% through the album, and then we got the news. Herb mentioned that he was going to be doing this, and I really wasn't under any deadline. Karen and I had recorded in that complex since the word go, and it's kind of like a second home. So I just kicked back while they did it and spent the time listening to things that were submitted and writing a lot more songs and like that. So I just waited until that was done, and then we picked back up with recording. So by the time all of this took place, it really was from summer to summer, 85 to 87.
And how did you, as I say, sign up Dusty Springfield? Did you manage to track her down? Was she in America or the United Kingdom?
Well, yeah, after all of that, it turns out she was pretty close. Dionne and Karen and I would see each other from time to time, and, of course, I just gave Dionne a call. There were a couple of tunes on the album I wanted to feature female leads on, and I wanted to go with singers who had as much of a sound and a style in their own right as Karen had in hers. And I feel that Dionne and Dusty really fill the bill very nicely. So Dionne was a matter of a phone call. Dusty, I figured, would take a little detective work. I, for some reason, was figuring she'd be in England. Well, it turns out she was in Tarzana, which is L.A. It's in the San Fernando Valley, but it's a stone's throw from L.A. So she was right around the corner after all of this. That had to go. My manager got a hold of her manager, who got a hold of her, and I sent her a demo of Something in Your Eyes and got the word back that she was most happy to record it.
So I appreciate it. It's Dusty's voice on that, but I know people have made comments to you that when you wrote that, did you write it with Karen in mind and her voice? Because when you listen to the opening few bars, it's reminiscent of...
Well, the thing is, my arrangements have a certain sound, and, well, my productions do also, and it has all my background vocals on it, and my piano playing, so it, of course, is very Carpenter-esque. And the thing is, I write a certain type of song. It so happened that style of song worked extremely well for Karen. I feel it does for Dusty. I think she does a hell of a job with the tune.
Totally
but we
agree.
Have had people mention that they think it sounds like Karen singing it, and I don't. I mean, I think it sounds very much like a Carpenters record, and yet, to me, Dusty's and Karen's voice are quite a bit different from each other.
Well, strange going back in time that Dusty also recorded Close to You and had a...
And so did Dion.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was an album cut. A whole different treatment.
Dusty Springfield and Something in Your Eyes. We hope not a speck of dust, if you'll pardon the pun. Taken from the album of Mr. Richard Carpenter entitled Time. We'll take a break right now. We'll be back with Richard Carpenter singing Calling Your Name Again.
Then I feel a pain in my heart. Cause I'm living without your love. I'm all alone for the first time. And it doesn't seem to be a dream that will be over.
That's Calling Your Name Again from the latest Richard Carpenter album entitled Time. Talking of time, Richard, the clock sadly has beaten us, so may I take this opportunity of thanking you for taking time out during a very busy schedule in a remarkably short visit to these shores in Great Britain to come and see us. All the very best for the album and indeed for the year ahead.
It's my pleasure, Keith. Thank you.